Whoops. Had to make this one two parts because it's long. But keep enjoying.
Let's go to, let's see, I got two more big things to cover. Let's see if we can get to them both. I was going to ask you about sociology, but we're going to be with sociology professors tomorrow. So.
Did you mean sociology or social work?
Both.
Oh.
Because you studied sociology as a part of your social work.
Yes.
Social work program.
Social work.
Mm-hmm. Social. I'm going to save that one for last. I don't even know. Do I want to ask you about Taylor? That's one of the two. I'll ask you about Taylor. Just see where it goes. Y'all didn't start dating until April
yes.
You left? Okay.
April,
is that right?
Graduated in May.
Yeah.
Left the day after graduation.
Yes. From California.
Yeah.
From Texas.
Right.
Just a side note.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we had been dating for a month.
But how long did y'all know? I remember you both separately telling me
mm-hmm.
around the same time
in March?
Or was it in April? I don't know. But it wasn't long before y'all actually decided to make a move.
Yeah.
To actually start doing something.
I think we both started getting interested maybe in March.
It's heating up!
Because spring break.
Oh. What was spring
break? We went to Colorado.
Oh, Winter Park.
Didn't that?
Yeah.
We went to Colorado.
Okay.
I went to Ireland. She went to Ireland. And during that time, we were like Facebook messaging a lot.
Mm.
While we were both in our different places.
Sure.
So then...
That was a great ski trip.
So I think that's when things sort of got started.
Okay.
Yeah, that was like a
But I think
trip.
Y'all had told me about it. I don't remember if it was before or after.
Before then?
It doesn't really matter.
Huh.
What was that? Was that a tough decision to make? To start dating right before you moved three states over?
Yes.
Are you glad that you made that decision?
Yes.
Well, and on top of that, y'all were friends...
Yes.
For several years.
3 years, probably.
Before... doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So where did it come
close
from?
Friends for probably about a year.
And let me say, to look back and go, this is another time when I was being stupid. At the time I'm like, oh, they're having separation anxiety. They're really gonna stay together. Like not like I'm against this, but just this is probably not going anywhere. And then y'all dated, and then you kept dating. And
yes.
Now you're still dating. And
currently,
you're like, as we speak.
Yes.
And probably when this is released.
Yes.
You'll still be And again, that's not me, like, at the time I wasn't going, this is stupid, I can break this shit. But it was just surprising. And I thought, I wonder if this is genuine or not.
Yeah. It was interesting because, like, because we knew we were interested in each other. We had, something probably a lot of people don't know
mm-hmm.
is that maybe a year earlier,
mm-hmm.
a year before that happened, things had started happening between us.
Okay.
And then they didn't go anywhere.
Sure.
And she won't care that I say this, but just like, it was mainly her decision. She decided that she didn't want it to happen. She
Hold
didn't
off.
Want anything to happen between us, yeah.
So that was the spring before graduation.
That was... What?
The spring a year before graduation.
I think a year. Maybe
spring
a little more 12. Than a year.
Okay.
And so then, this time around, I was a little iffy about it
mm-hmm.
because of that.
Yeah.
Because... it sort of happened the same way. Things sort of progressed the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was really, really scared that something would happen again.
Yeah.
And she would decide she didn't want to. So.
So you kind of ignored it? Or suppressed it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just, like, I drew it out longer.
Did you have any other interests? I feel like you...
Mm-mm.
You
Not
had
that
other
way.
Girls that we, like, gave you a hard time for
yeah.
liking. But there was never, like...
Just, like, crushes.
There was never
probably.
Any action. There was never any pursuit, even.
No.
Okay.
And so actually she made the first move that second time.
Okay.
So that's when that's sort of how it all started.
Sure.
Was we had been talking for a while,
mm-hmm.
we sort of knew that things were going to happen, but then she's the one who actually initiated it. And then from there, we both knew that this was going to happen. And this was the thing we both wanted. And then We just had a DTR one night.
What does that stand for?
Define the relationship.
Oh, thank you.
You should write that down.
Got it.
And we said, like, is this something we want? Because I'm moving to California after graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I think this is something I want. And
sure.
I said, me too. So let's just try it. The least we can do is try and just see what happens.
Take a risk.
Because there's no point in not trying at all. And then the whole, like, for the rest of the time thinking,
yeah,
what would have happened if we did try?
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, there's no harm in just trying.
But
and
there could
decided.
Be. No, there's harm in trying.
Okay.
Because, and this takes me to something else that I just wrote down. You could have had a terrible breakup and lost a friend.
Sure.
That is an option.
You're right.
Or you could have gotten back with somebody else behind your back.
Mm-hmm.
Or she could have.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have led to all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there
you're right.
is harm.
You're
potential
right.
harm. And I think that's what makes the decision more powerful.
Yeah.
Because since the time when I was like, oh, this isn't enough, this isn't even going to happen. Since then, I've become a lot more of a believer in risk.
Mm.
Because, and not to turn this around back to me, but
no.
just like
Go ahead.
Having to propose to somebody
yeah.
and say, I'm going to marry you.
Yeah.
And kind of step out on a limb and say that I'm comfortable doing that. I would take the generalized, really big stance and say nobody's ever 100% sure that they want to get married.
Uh-huh.
Whether they think they are or not.
Okay.
And that's a huge risk. Us planning a wedding and getting ready to like live together forever is a big risk. And I'm putting a lot out on the line for that. And so is she.
Yeah.
But I've become much more of a firm believer in risk. And even small things like mountain biking or doing a podcast, like I blog about this, but like these are risks. I'm risking looking like an idiot, hurting myself, hurting other people, recording really awkward stuff, blogging even. I could write something that somebody like just blows up at
yes,
me for.
Definitely.
I mean, it's all risks, but if you don't take those risks, you don't get anywhere. At least I don't feel like there's ample or even beneficial growth. And as Rob Bell would say, growth occurs in disruption. So maybe you create these situations where there's potential disruption and see what happens.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But do you think, was it a risk for you proposing to her, or did you know she was going to say yes?
It's not a risk of her. At the time, I was 90% sure she would say yes.
Yeah.
And the only reason she would have said no in my mind was she just wasn't ready yet.
Mm.
Like, she would say yes.
She would eventually.
I would have been 99% that she would say yes at some point. I was 90% she'd say yes at that time.
Yeah.
The risk isn't her saying yes. The risk is us getting married and getting divorced.
Mm.
Or us getting married and me cheating on her. Or us
getting
married and her dying. Like, and me having to live with that.
Yeah.
It's not the risk
not...
of a no, it's the risk of attachment to something that I might lose. At some point, I will lose Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, she will lose me.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. And so you're actually not risking anything. You're signing up for death.
Yeah.
But you are risking certain things. And I can no longer, I actually was just listening to the Kumail Returns episode of Pete Holmes. And he says, in getting married, the only thing I'm giving up is having sex with other women. I'm getting the world in return.
Mm.
But I am risking other things. I mean, I don't get as much free time if I have a wife.
Uh-huh.
I'm risking not finding the one if I think there is the one.
Huh.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't believe there is. But what if there's somebody out there that's better for me than Bailey is? I'm risking not being with them. There's all kinds of risks you can create.
Mm-hmm.
But Bailey and I have talked about that, and I believe, and I think she would say the same thing, making that choice to take the risk is what makes our relationship a lot better and more powerful.
Yeah.
So.
Taylor and I talked about that too.
Really?
The one.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
And is that a thing? So I want to know.
I don't think it is
what
at all.
What you think about it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more power in choosing a partner than being handed one.
Yes.
And that goes back to my belief in like the world of puppetry. If there is a plan, if God's will is what people refer to as God's will, is a storyline, and I'm a character in a script, I feel like there's no power there's no beauty in it at all because I'm just acting out something I was supposed to act out the whole time.
Yeah.
I think choice is a huge deal.
Yeah.
I think life is pointless without choice.
I agree.
So choosing Bailey, to me, is a lot more powerful than being assigned
yes.
to Bailey.
Yes.
And if she is the one for me, of course I'm going to marry her. Why wouldn't I?
Uh-huh.
She's the one. But
right.
I also think I could marry Taylor.
Uh-huh.
And we could probably be happy together. I could probably marry all kinds of people. And I don't remember if it's Jerry Seinfeld or Pete Holmes that says, I don't believe there's one, but I do believe there's like a percentage. I could probably marry like 15% of the world and be happy. And maybe 5% of those I could be really happy with. And then the other 90 or 80 or however many I could marry, but we would not be happy together.
Mm.
So, no, I don't believe in the one at all. I think because then you get into the whole, what if I was born in China? Like, I would not meet Bailey.
Right.
Yes,
of course.
Like, the plan would be for me to be married to be born here. But there are other people in my life, even specific people that I could look back at now. And there are specific people I was in a relationship with that I know I couldn't marry.
Mm-hmm.
But there are several that I got close to a relationship with or like spent a lot of time with and really connected with that I know I would be happy
mm-hmm.
marrying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bailey and I have talked about that. She's totally fine. I think that we're totally fine with it.
Yeah.
But I didn't choose those people for whatever reason. I still haven't, and I've chosen to be with Bailey, and I think that's huge.
Yeah.
And there are going to be parts of us that are never compatible and that never work together perfectly.
Right.
So we'll have to fight through those things.
Right.
So.
And what does that say about the people who believe that there is one specific person, and then there are
mm-hmm.
specific things that you are compatible about, like... What does that say about believing that that person is the one for you? Because if they are, if you believe that this is the perfect person for me, then
yeah.
there would be nothing
wrong with them.
Nothing that you guys would have disagreements or that wouldn't be, as you say, wouldn't be compatible with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that with that, it's...
Or it's part of the plan for you to have these fights that make you stronger.
Oh, okay.
Could be of you.
Okay.
Or somebody might say... This is my sinful nature getting in the way of our perfect relationship.
Right. Right.
But it's not even a religious view to say that there's the one.
Huh.
Look at most love stories and movies. It's all about finding your soulmate and finding... And maybe that's not a good generalization to make, but it does seem like when you use the term soulmate or like you're talking about in Disney movies, finding like Prince Charming or whatever, that implies that there's one person.
Yeah.
Especially soulmate. And even The Simpsons, like they talk about how Marge and Homer are meant for each other.
They do?
Mm-hmm. In several episodes. And so that carries the language of those two are the only two that are compatible for each other.
Mm.
Which, of course, Homer Simpson's compatible with nobody. So that's already defunct. But no, I don't know. In some people, I mean, it totally depends. And I don't think just because you believe in the one means that you are set up to fail. Because there's a spectrum there as well. Some people are going to be extremists and say, it's my sinful nature that's getting in the way of a perfect relationship. Or...
We know these people.
Or...
You and I know people in that, like that.
Oh, we do?
I think so.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I specifically think of something.
That's great. We don't need to
talk
about it. We'll talk about it when we're doing the mic. Anyway, or people that just like say, I had a train going there.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. You believe that either you're getting in the way or in some crazy logic, being incompatible as part of your compatibility.
Okay.
Like, or they're looking at it the wrong way.
Okay.
Or it's Satan, or it's human nature, or whatever. I mean, but then there's also people at the other end that say, I do believe that there's only one person that I could get married to, and maybe I'm taking a risk in marrying this person. Maybe they aren't the one, and I just think they are. Or they're the one, and with your one, you're going to have things that aren't going to work, and you just have to work through those. And my mom, I think, might fall into that category, because she's told me before, no matter who you marry, just enter your marriage with the mentality of, we're not going to get divorced.
Yeah.
Because if you
do... I think that's important.
I do, too. And enter that and say, no matter what, I'm not going to quit on a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because... at some point, like, you're saying this is valuable, and even if in 15 years from now, our relation, me and Bailey's relationship has gotten so terrible that she's running away and hiding from me and cheating on me or whatever, not that she would ever do that, but if we're there, there's still something we can look back to in 2014 and say, we cared about each other and we can find that again.
Yeah.
We can rebuild what we have screwed up.
Yeah.
Instead of, I quit, I'm tired of you. And there have even been conversations that Bailey and I have had, and this is like a huge flaw of mine. I've said, if I ever, and we weren't like fighting, we were just talking. If I ever found out that you had cheated on me, I would probably want to kill that person. And I said that and I meant it. And she pushed back a lot, and that was creepy. One side note, this is one thing I really love about Bailey. She doesn't let me get away with things.
Yeah.
She'll stop me and say, no, you need to rethink what you just said, because that's terrifying.
Yeah.
The fact that you think you would kill somebody because I had sex with them or something. I'm like, yeah, shouldn't I want that? She goes, that's too much. You don't want to kill it. You shouldn't want to kill them. And then I try to justify it, backpedal by saying, like, well, I would just want to kill them. I wouldn't kill them.
Yeah.
I would just want to. But at the same time, David Hunt, I talked about that with him, because I think I had that conversation with Bailey and then thought about it a lot. And so whenever I have a conversation that means a lot, I talk about it a lot for several days with several people.
Yeah.
And it just comes up. And I talked to him about it, and he said the same thing. He's like, I wouldn't kill the guy, but if somebody messed with my son when he's this young, yes, I would kill him.
Wow.
And that's, I hope David doesn't care that I said that, but... and that's not to say that he's a murderer, but, like,
yeah, right.
that is a little different, I guess, because obviously his son is 3 or younger, and he doesn't have any kind of choice or free will right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different realm, but that did kind of give me some more perspective. You know, Maggie's making a choice, his wife, maybe, and maybe I don't just take everything out on this guy. Maybe I have to fix something that I broke or whatever. So... I do think it's a little flawed for me to say, I would be really mad at you, but I wouldn't divorce you, but I would kill the man that you slept with. Like, well, yikes.
It's interesting.
So, yeah, all of that to say, I do think, and we've seen relationships, friends that have parents with these kinds of relationships, or something has gotten so screwed up, that with a lot of people would quit and say, I divorce you. But we've seen these people get over their ego and say, I'm going to stay around because I think you need somebody right now, and we're going to fix this. Even though that probably leads to years and years of tension, and if my wife cheated on me, I don't think I want to have sex with her for a long time, and that would cause all kinds of problems in and of itself. Like,
yeah.
It's not that that's going to be easy, but do you... I mean, isn't it selfish to divorce somebody for them doing something to you?
Huh.
Is it? I mean, that's my question.
Yeah,
not
I know.
That's like a question. Because John Witten has kind of posed, love is totally giving yourself over. And even in those small things where you want your wife to do something for you, you even in those moments have to look at her perspective and say, you know what? No, I'm going to get over myself.
Wow.
That's true selflessness.
Yeah.
So...
yeah.
Is it selfish for me to divorce Bailey for cheating on me?
I don't know.
And if it happened, I just would hope that at least I would talk to Bailey about things and not just make a decision.
Yeah.
And that's really all I can say that I'm sure of. I just wouldn't want to make a snap reaction decision. I'd want to get perspective and I'd want to know what happened. And,
uh-huh.
And you'd want to ask that question, like, do you love this person?
Yeah.
And if they say no, then you go, okay, we're going to work on this.
Mm-hmm.
At least this is what I would hope I would do. And if they say yes, then you go, okay, then you need to be with them and stop leading me on.
Yeah.
But
I think I would want to know why why are you choosing that person over me?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the question I would ask.
Did you just need some fun?
Yeah.
Did you, like, House of Cards? She's,
yes.
She, Claire is totally fine with
she's
Frank.
He's, yeah.
Doing whoever he wants.
Yep.
And he'll come home, and at one point they like acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a viewer, you go, what? She knows?
Uh-huh.
Because you think that she's going to be the kind that would just rip this woman's head off.
Yeah.
But she's not. You know, it's something like, could we use her? Or,
yeah, I would,
or did you get something out of this?
Yeah.
And he goes, yes, I actually think it's good for me. And she's like, okay.
She said, yeah.
Just don't do it here.
I
or something that. Like
that. I remember that. That's so crazy.
And I went, whoa. And then that's a question. Not that I ever want to have that kind of relationship with Bailey. But is she doing something good? Is she being selfless? Or whatever. And that would get Pete Holmes would love this conversation because he loves the carnal side of, he likes talking about the carnal side of nature and asking about polygamy and monogamy and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But, and there's a scene that you still haven't gotten to in season two that will throw a different curve
oh,
on this conversation. Geez. But not to like leave.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
I won't.
Okay.
Anyway, all of that to say, geez, I just talked a lot.
Oh,
sorry, listeners.
No, that's good. I want you to. I don't have anything interesting to say.
About that?
No, I don't have anything interesting to say at all.
That's not true.
So I want to hear what you have to say.
Brownie bread.
Brown bread.
Man, this makes me want to talk to Bailey about it again. Anyway. Yeah, that's a whole, I don't think it's black and white. And that kind of gets down to my basis of reality. I don't think that anything's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the fact that I don't think anything's black and white.
Hey,
see, it's all messed up, man. I just definitely believe in embracing the gray and trying to figure out what that gray looks like. And acknowledge the gray.
The movie, The Gray?
There's a movie, The Wolves?
With Liam Neeson.
No, I never saw it. The Gray with an E.
Really embrace it.
I'll embrace that gray.
Embrace the gray.
But, I mean, I came up in a world where I felt like I should have believed in black and white.
Yes, me too.
And then when I figured out gray was actually pretty powerful.
Yeah. That's what we talked about.
Really liked that.
John Witten's podcast.
Which, what were we talking about?
You talked about that thing, like.
Which specifically?
Like, the way I grew up is there isn't any gray area with the Bible or with God or with Jesus.
I was like,
there's no gray area. You have to believe this way.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you found out that there is a way to think that,
mm-hmm.
and it'd be okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's okay to not know. That was a big deal for me, too.
Yeah.
When you said that in that podcast, it made me, like, I was completely on board.
Did you go, amen?
Yeah, out loud.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Put my hands up.
Praise
amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt the exact same way. Like,
yeah.
It's okay to not know if this is the right thing or not.
Sure.
But when before, I was so scared to think, is this the right way?
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh no, I'm going to hell. Just because I'm questioning it,
yeah.
I am going to hell.
Yeah.
And you also said this, which made me think about it, is like, is reading the Bible.
Shoot, people are quoting me now.
Yep, that's me.
This is me the whole time.
Reading the Bible,
uh-huh.
like, if you aren't having 20 minutes of quiet time where you're reading the Bible and listening to God's voice in your heart,
yeah.
then you are not a Christian.
You're not a good Christian.
You're not a good Christian. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not a good Christian. So I was so, because I hated doing that. I absolutely hated doing that. And I still kind of hate doing that.
Yeah.
I don't do it at all.
Yeah.
And don't care that I'm fine with saying that now.
Sinner.
I don't do it at all.
Yeah.
And I was so worried about my fate.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do that.
There was a series of videos that our youth ministry did.
Uh-huh.
Where on Wednesday nights, I went to a pretty big youth group
okay.
meeting. On Wednesday nights, they had a video for a while that was a series of, contact a parent of
uh-huh.
a popular kid. Of somebody that like...
Popular kid?
Well, it,
for real?
For them, I mean, it didn't make sense to do this to a student that nobody knows. So it doesn't matter. It, not that they were labeled popular, including
yeah.
me. That's what this leads to. But it's people that people would know.
Yeah.
So they would go to one of these kids' houses and do like a Cribs kind of thing while they're gone. So they'd like go through their room, like find embarrassing stuff and just make funny jokes about them. And they did that to me.
Okay.
One Wednesday, and I went,
oh no, my gosh, you know, they totally did it.
Pretending
did you know that they were going
to
do that?
No, pretending to be embarrassed, but inside you're like, yes,
love it.
This is my time to shine. But in the video,
okay,
he finds my quiet time space, which is something that I had at the time.
Uh-huh.
And it was a chair set up by a lamp with my Bible and journal in it.
Was the Bible folded out?
No, it was closed. And the journal was closed. Thank God, because that journal has some crazy stuff. That should be a podcast. Just
crazy.
Just me reading my journal. It actually would be like way too deep for this. Anyway, he talks about that in the video. He's like, oh, this must be Michael's quiet time spot. That's nice. And inside, I was like, yes. Like,
no.
Seriously, like a really peaceful, like,
mm.
I have done something right. And now all of these people around me know what they should be doing as well.
Mm.
Because I have a quiet time space.
Yes. Nailed it.
Which is now I think is terrible.
Do you
not
like,
terrible, but
do you like have times that you read the Bible and like
currently?
I don't want it to sound cheesy because I'm not meaning to be cheesy.
Yeah.
I mean it to be like a real thing. Do you have times where you're like contemplating what you read and what you have like learned about in the week and stuff about just like people or about specific things about God and stuff? Do you do that now still?
No.
You don't?
No, I like to read, and I like to learn, and I like to listen. I think right now my quiet times are podcasts.
Yeah.
If you want to break down like what a quiet time is, I think I would go...
I
think
hate
quiet
that.
Times,
I hate that term.
But let's redefine it then. Because if a quiet time is journaling and reading the Bible and listening to God, then I don't want to do that.
Right.
Not because I think it's wrong, but because I don't understand it, and I don't want to pretend that I understand it. But if a quiet time is any sort of meditation or thoughtfulness or learning, I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody should do that.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I think it's healthy to expand your mind a little bit. And so for me currently, podcasts.
Yeah.
For a while it was magazines.
Okay.
Sometimes it's books.
Uh-huh.
But I do think engaging in something that you don't understand or just listening to other people.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's even one reason I want to record these, because I'm hoping that somebody hears this conversation. And I've had some people like Nick Nepik, shout out.
What?
He'll love that.
CP?
That have come to me and CP. Oh.
I didn't want to say that loud.
I thought you meant Chris Paul for
no.
a second.
No.
I was like, what? No, but just him saying like, I really enjoyed listening to you and John.
Mm-hmm.
That's just made me feel really great. And this isn't just to make me feel great. I'm glad that somebody understands why I'm doing it. And that somebody's taking a risk and listening to something that's an hour long.
Mm.
But I enjoy the podcast I listen to. And so I think it's fun to create.
Yeah.
And that's actually been a new quiet time experience for me as well, as creation.
Mm.
I just, blogging and podcasting has become really peaceful, and I feel like I'm engaging more with those around me, and I feel like that's as well is a good thing. But
I agree.
Anyway, yeah, quiet time, if you define it as just learning or opening up or engaging something new or even creating, I think that's fantastic. But no, there's never a time where I set aside a time to read and specifically reflect on something. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I kind of do that all the time.
Okay.
Which I do also like. Or I just do it through this, or I do it through talking to somebody, or reading a chapter. Deepin and I are reading a good book together. That could kind of be a quiet time, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are you reading?
The Universe Next Door. It's a worldviews catalog, so it kind of breaks down like what they consider the top 10 most popular, most believed in worldviews, and it gives you perspective on what they are. And
theology,
deism, nihilism. So it's like,
but it's all about,
it's all revolves around the view of God. Are you monotheistic?
Okay.
Are you pantheistic? Are you deistic? Are you nihilistic? And then it kind of breaks down those worldviews.
God.
But whether or not you believe, I mean, everybody would fall under one of those categories ultimately, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of breaks down everything.
That's cool.
And it's fun to sit around and just talk about that for 30 minutes with Deepin.
Mm.
So that's
he's a great guy.
It's quiet timey.
That's two shout-outs.
That's two shout-outs. And he recorded a podcast with me.
Nice.
So listen to that one.
It's a plug.
It's a plug.
Let's plug it.
Where did we come from with that?
Taylor.
Wow. That was a while ago.
It's good. It's an improv.
You laughed at yourself.
I did.
Anyway, let's go back to that just slightly. Was it weird deciding to make a friend relationship that you were in a dating relationship?
No.
You liked that?
I really, really liked that.
I've never done that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even just the...
So good for you.
The two girls that I know that you've dated.
Mm-hmm.
While we've been friends.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that at all.
No. If you can't... It's not real friendship. Because with Hope, it was like 3 weeks. And with Bailey, it was 2 months.
Yeah.
I don't think that you can really call that a real friendship.
Hmm.
Yeah, we've been friends since September. You know, like that doesn't count.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was very beneficial for both of us.
That's good.
Because going back to me moving away to California while she still stayed here,
mm-hmm.
We still had those like connections, even though the time in which we realized we were interested in each other, it was really quick.
Yeah.
Between when we were interested and when we started dating. So I'm really happy we had the time before that, so that it wasn't us learning things about each other while I was in California.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm really happy that it happened that way.
Sure.
Because the relationship that I had before her wasn't like that at all.
Sure.
It was very much like the relationships you've had,
mm-hmm.
where the only reason we ever became friends in the first place was because we were interested in dating each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm really happy that it happened that way.
Good.
I don't know what else to say about that.
That's fine. I have one more topic I want to cover, but I want to get coffee for you.
Okay. I really have.
Okay, last thing.
Matt is one of my favorite persons.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true.
I'm writing it down anyway.
I was just kind of joking.
He'll be really happy, because I think he's going to listen to these. Yeah, Jeremy Rhodes. Well, now you're just sucking up.
Taylor.
Lame.
Taylor and Horn.
Lame. We talked about this, like, Maybe the first week you were in town? Conversation. Do you remember this?
A conversation about conversation?
Mm-hmm. We talked about how, and you, what's so funny is you started talking about it at a time when I had been thinking about it a lot. The power of conversation and the roles that you play in it.
Okay.
And when you decide to listen and when you decide to butt in or attack.
Mm-hmm. Not attack, but butt in.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Some people attack in conversation and not even by saying something, but just by demanding.
Huh.
Or by commanding the conversation. Anyway, go. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Because we were talking about going to watch an improv show. Maybe. Is this the same conversation?
I don't think so. It doesn't matter as long as it leads to the same thing.
It does. Because the important thing in...
No, it was, yeah.
The important thing in improvising, in like the comedy improvising, the idea of like people doing comedy...
Yes, keep going.
...as improvisers,
mm-hmm.
is you never expect, or like you never plan out the way that you want the conversation to go.
Yeah.
Because you just have to go along with whatever the other person says, whatever the other person adds to the conversation. It is your job as an improviser,
mm-hmm.
to keep that going. Otherwise, the whole sketch, that specific segment, is
mm-hmm.
going to suck. Because you're continuously, is that a word, continuously?
Continually
trying to make it go the way you want. And so everybody else has to just go along with whatever you want, instead of everybody working together
to collaborate
the
mm-hmm.
way it goes together. And the great thing, I mean, Pete Holmes has a lot of improvisers come on his show.
Yeah.
And one specific one was...
Pete's going to have to pay me something at some point.
Yeah, of course.
I talk about him so much.
Pete, I know you listen.
Can you imagine how awesome it would be if I got him on this?
That would be the best thing. The best. Better than Nelson Mandela. Oh, rest in peace. Quiet moment. Can we have a quiet moment?
Moment of silence.
Moment of silence.
Do you think I could just email him and see what he says?
Probably.
But I don't know his email.
I think it's just
Pete@Holmes.com.
That's gotta be it.
Anyway, keep going.
And one of the cool things about going to a show like that and watching it, Taylor and I went to UCB and in LA.
Yeah.
We went to the show's called ASCAP.
Mm-hmm.
And the coolest thing is, like, everybody in the audience is on their side. We want them to make it really good.
Yeah.
So
that's why
it's
you're
like,
there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want it to be funny. And so whatever it takes for it to be funny, we want it to happen so badly.
Yeah.
So it's so cool to be a part of that, to see them. They have no idea what's going to happen, what the person is going to say next. But you just, whatever they say, you just agree with them and continue it in that way. You don't ever say, no, it's this, or no, he said that, not this person. It's never like that. So it's always so cool to see. With that comes the conversational part, which my brother told me about, like, because he took a class.
This is where it is, our conversation.
He took a class at UCB on improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it affected his social life also, because instead of waiting for them to stop so he could say what he wants to say, he would just listen to what they had to say and then go off of whatever they say.
Yeah.
Thinking of things that he has experienced in his life that are similar to that, things like that, instead of people that we know who just want it to go this way, and this is the way it's going to go no matter what the other person says.
Yes.
So that's something I try to do, and I'm not always good at.
Since your brother told you about it? Or do you
specifically
feel like,
since then, yes.
Do you think you subconsciously ever did that anyway?
Yeah, I do. Because I think me and you and our friends, me and you and everyone we know, that's a movie.
Do you have to pay for the rights?
Yeah. Oh.
Shoot. Well, good.
Cut. we sort of do that with, like, our jokes.
Uh-huh. You build
that's
off
the specific thing I'm thinking of.
It's
like the way we tell our jokes to each other, the way we, like, have fun with each other is by doing that thing.
Yeah.
Hardly any of the time are we, like, did someone say a joke and we're like, no, this is the way we want it to be here.
Unless it's part of the joke.
Okay.
Because we used to pick on you a lot.
Really?
What do you mean, really?
You used to pick on me?
Yeah, you were the butt of, like, jokes for a long time.
I thought you meant a specific...
No. So, like, if you had been like, right, guys, this thing?
You guys are
part of the collaborative effort was, no. And then we go back to what we were talking about. So unless it's part of the routine, whatever.
Yeah.
Then,
okay,
yeah.
You do that a lot. Yeah, but I always felt that way.
Yeah.
It's like, we would always go along with what the other person was saying.
Yeah.
Specifically in situations that we would talk about that would be really, like, extreme. Sometimes we would go on like a really extreme tangent.
You build really crazy.
But we would keep building off of it. We wouldn't say, no, that doesn't sound good. We would just say, yeah, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really cool and, like, valuable thing that I've sort of realized recently since graduation.
Uh-huh.
Definitely.
You don't have that anymore.
Right. I don't have that anymore. And I really noticed it when I was
living
in
California. With two people, it's only so powerful.
Yes.
You and I.
Yeah. If like...
We've done it in this podcast.
Sure.
Yeah. But it stops there. It can only stop when the two of us have contributed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Carl to keep going.
Carl and Blake.
Or Micah or Blake.
Yeah. Exactly. I think it was all really a really important thing to me that I have missed since graduation.
Remember that post that you posted on your blog about missing Ebling?
I posted it right after graduation.
Yeah, and you, like, shouted out to everybody.
I did a graduation acceptance speech.
There you go.
Yeah. At JOT Anderson at WordPress.com.
I do need to start doing that. I need to start giving some kind of shout out to the guest.
No.
You
bad.
Should read Jared's blog.
The reason why I'm on this podcast is
you
because
just
my
doing reviews.
Yeah.
No, that's not why you're on the podcast though.
No, that is.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh wait, I mean.
Right.
Oh.
Anyway.
I'll say where I was going.
No, it's okay.
Go ahead.
I think you were close to you were talking about our friendship and how we collaborated.
Okay.
Very subconsciously. That's just how we functioned, and you appreciated it. I mean, the last thing you said was, I missed that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have something else?
No. Nope.
Okay.
That's a good place.
Because, I don't remember why or how, or maybe I'm making this up, but before you brought that up to me, I had been thinking about how I function in conversation a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that blows my mind that I ever came to that realization, if it is real. I don't know if I made that up or not. Because I felt like when you were talking about it to me, I went, yes! Somebody's talking about something that I've been thinking of.
Yeah.
But I don't remember if I actually was. But I've stopped trying to control conversations.
Mm.
I think. And I think that's valuable, to stop trying to control conversations. And I think for a long time it's been very subconscious, but then I think I started realizing. No, I did. This was something I could think about. There are some people that I have been with where if I'm with two other people, it's literally impossible to insert any kind of input.
Uh-huh.
And at a certain point, like, you get really frustrated
uh-huh.
as the third wheel of the conversation. Because I can't steer at all. I can't steer. What was that? I think there's a ghost. Now we're gonna be
ghost in my house.
Yeah. Now we're gonna be creeped out until no, it was I was walking with the ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were thinking two different songs. I have a different song.
But mine's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is right.
Mm-hmm. I'm controlling.
Got
conversation. But if you're the third person, you don't get any input, and you start to selfishly go, why am I even here? I'm not contributing to this conversation at all. I'm just listening to these two people riff off of each other.
Yeah.
Or I'm just listening to somebody talk, and I'm just a dead body in a chair, or standing up, or playing basketball, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You have no input, you have no value. At least that's what you feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a specific thing for me. I was with two people that could not stop talking. And that's something that I could probably go to those two people and be like, do you remember this? And they'd go, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that those two people are always like that. I think it was just the time. Sometimes people get hyper. Sometimes
uh-huh.
people get really wound up and want to talk a lot or haven't had an outlet for a while. And I think that's fine.
Yeah.
But at the time, I got really frustrated. And then later that week, the same kind of thing happened. But with one person. And then the next day, I just started noticing it, I think. And then I started realizing, what am I losing? What am I missing out on? I don't think I'm missing out on anything. Maybe I can just be a listener. And maybe I shouldn't try to insert my input.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just started really thinking about my roles in conversation are going to start totally becoming based off of who I'm talking to, first of all. But I think I need to be more selfless, even in something as small as a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us have those things that we want to say that turn it back toward us, that say, oh yeah, well, oh, we're talking about skiing? I've been skiing twice. And don't worry, I'm pretty good.
It's all about one-upping
yes.
the last person said.
Yeah. Or even like small things, somebody's talking about a chemistry class. And you just want to insert, yeah, I took that chemistry class. That's a lot more harmless than some conversations.
Uh-huh.
And because even that person, you're like, oh, really? How did it go? What did you think?
Mm.
But you're still trying to like, I'm here. I'm over here.
Yeah.
I took that chemistry class.
But I think at the same time, it's important to have, in a conversation, it's
mm-hmm.
important for someone else to have similar experiences as you.
Uh-huh.
And if you know that the other person has a similar experience, then the conversation could be better.
Sure.
Based off of
and,
that. Because there's more conversation like, oh, how is it for you?
Mm-hmm.
Specifically like a chemistry class like that.
If it leads to that, great.
Yeah.
But if the intent still is, I just need some attention, I want you to know that I'm here, that's a turnoff for me. Maybe it's not wrong, but it started to turn me off a lot. And so when I find myself in those conversations, I've really started to take my foot off the gas and listen more, which I don't think is wrong, but at the same time, I'm not being myself because I'm not saying things that are coming to my mind, or I'm not talking about something I want to insert. And maybe that's good, maybe it's bad, maybe it totally depends on the situation that I'm in, but I think it's just kind of been really interesting to me to start thinking about that, because nobody thinks about that, and that's not true.
No, yeah, that's
but
not true.
A lot of people don't think about how you function in a conversation. And if somebody butts in and takes it over, everybody else in the room goes, ugh, rolls their eyes. But you don't walk away going, that guy was being really selfish in that conversation. Maybe I should stop being like that.
Yeah.
You just go, next time I need to make sure I talk first or whatever. And it's a shared experience. I mean, it's humanity. You want to connect with people. You want to whatever. But my strategy in conversation has drastically changed. And it's stopped becoming about me, because I do think it comes from a recent annoyance with social media as well. Uh-huh. I see a lot of social media as a cry for attention, which some people need attention, and I understand that. But I just don't. It's a turnoff again for me when I see that on Facebook or on Twitter. It's just, this has become a turnoff because I don't care.
Yeah.
When you're begging for it, I don't want to give it to you. And
I feel the same
so
way.
Maybe I like just let me give it to you when it's time, or I don't know. And I say that while I'm recording a conversation I'm hoping people listen to, and I write a blog that I hope people read.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
I think because you've realized that you do that, or you aren't the person to command the conversation,
mm-hmm.
you have outlets like this where you are allowed to talk about your thought process.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk through things, which then in turn helps you sort of figure out what you think about things.
Yeah.
I think...
Well, and this is more about people subscribing to what I'm saying. So I'm hoping people are making that choice.
Yeah.
But at least they're making the choice, and I'm not putting it in their face. And sometimes on Facebook, I go through a feed, I see somebody that friend requested me, then I go, I'm going to feel like a jerk if I say no.
Uh-huh.
And then their Facebook status is something like, man, I feel like a cow. I just had 6 hamburgers from
that's
McDonald's.
Facebook.
Or, yeah, that's not why Facebook was created.
I mean, that's what it is now.
Yeah, but, and maybe I'm just too negative, but that's just such a huge turnoff.
No, I don't like Facebook as much either because of that reason.
But Twitter's the same way sometimes.
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 Which?
Or Instagram.
Instagram is definitely that.
Well, I guess that's the point of Instagram. I'm going to share my pictures with you.
Yes. But at the same time, I want to give you my take on social media.
No. Just kidding. Go ahead.
Yes, that's what Instagram is for.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think there's a way to do it that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not... And I think Instagram was made for that reason. To show pictures of your life in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Which is why they make filters, ways you can fade it, different
of course.
Things like that. But it is less like that now.
Yeah.
So I've had this conversation with Taylor before, because we have talked about like posting couples pictures
mm-hmm.
of me and her
mm-hmm.
together, like selfie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I don't mind having pictures of you on my Instagram,
mm-hmm.
as long as it looks good.
Yeah.
It's not just
as long
a
as
picture
it's about
that,
the picture.
As long, yes.
Okay.
It's, as long as it's not like every other couple's picture that ever is on Instagram or Facebook.
Sure.
I want, like, most of the pictures I have of her are just her, and it's of her, like, doing something that she probably doesn't even know I was taking a picture of her. But it...
Okay.
Just the way that it, like...
Yeah, no, like knitting.
Those types of things.
Baking cookies.
I can't even remember. Well, because we did a... whenever she came to visit me in California a few times, one time we went and looked for street art around L.A.
Yeah.
So one of the pictures I have of her is her looking at a street art installation.
Yes.
Obey Giant, Shepherd Fairey street art.
That's one in Dallas?
That one was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was
similar.
Kind of like that. And so it was of her looking at it. So she didn't even know I was taking the picture. And it looks good because it's of a cool thing. And it's from like the back of her. So it's like those are the types of things that I am okay with seeing someone else's significant other on their Instagram for that reason. But and also to say, Twitter is a very interesting thing
mm-hmm.
because I've sort of found this like different world of Twitter called that the people on that call it weird Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I don't know. I started like tweeting like them a lot more
mm-hmm.
in like the past year.
Sure.
Where it's like mainly the biggest thing that you do on there is like telling jokes and making, being funny and doing things like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people that I was following before then,
mm-hmm.
I am now like, I feel the same way that you do about Facebook.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about those people now. Because I found this other aspect of Twitter that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Because it's really creative.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
are being creative.
And it's not just conversation between
right.
two people at or playing each other.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the thing for me that I'm kind of realizing now. Is I want things to be creative.
Yeah.
I don't want things to be... Like, you are... people can be creative.
Yeah.
Everybody has the capacity to do something interesting. Make something creative. Maybe that might not be on Twitter or Instagram. Then... it's kind of...
That's a really cool.
It's
place
a cocky
to put,
thing
though.
For me to say, but I don't want... I'm not interested in what you have to offer on Twitter or Instagram if you are not using it creatively,
mm-hmm.
which I feel bad saying.
But as long as you're okay with saying, I don't like it, but you do whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And you do say
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm just not going to follow you.
Yes.
But you have as much conversation or be as not uncreative
yes.
as you want. I just don't care.
And that's the beauty of Instagram and Twitter.
You
can
follow.
Choose to follow people and
yeah.
then unfollow them if you decide you don't want to. Don't like what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote about this in my blog, is the creative side of things.
Yeah.
Be creative in what you do. Anything that you do, whatever you decide you want to do,
yeah.
or like, yeah, anything like that.
Sure.
Do it in a creative way.
Mm-hmm.
Use the things that you have inside your head. And make something interesting.
Yeah.
Don't just be boring and like, don't just post things just because you want other people to give you attention about things you're doing in your life.
Sure.
Do it because you want to be creative. I sort of feel like it's a selfish thing.
Sure.
Because the things that I want to post on Instagram and tweet about
yeah.
is because I think they're creative. I think I'm doing a creative thing.
Yeah.
And it's for me. It's so that I am satisfied by it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, that was a big rant about social media.
That's okay.
So, yeah.
I recorded it. Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
I realized we've gotten to almost 2 hours in.
Oh, geez.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
But
you can cut that social media part out.
Done.
It's not interesting.
We didn't even talk about the thing that I like to talk about.
The big H.
When we talk about God. It's a book. The big H?
Yeah, the big H.
Hell?
Homosexuality.
No.
You don't want to talk about that?
No. We're fine. We can bring it up tomorrow.
Again.
That'd be a good one. No, purpose.
Hmm.
That's kind of like
the
focal point. Yeah, I just totally... I write it down every time so I don't forget.
Okay.
But no matter how long or how short you want to make it, what's your view of purpose, whether it's just yours or a collective purpose?
Hmm. I think that... Going back to the creative thing,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a big part of it,
yeah.
is using the things that you have in yourself, using your talents, your gifts, making things, doing things in a way that affects other people.
Yeah.
And that's what I talked about in my blog about creativity,
mm-hmm.
is create things that have an effect on other people. Could be something that makes people happy, something that makes people sad, something that makes people think about life.
Just elicits some kind of response.
Something that, yes, that's it, that evokes a response.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an important part of the purpose that we have here.
Yeah.
Is doing things that affect other people.
Mm-hmm.
Not just doing things for yourself, which is what I think people on social media like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Those things that just for themselves.
Does it tie back to the whole collaborative conversation viewpoint?
Yeah, I think
just
so.
Just collaborate with people?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, one of your favorite people.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He does that. Hit record.
Hit record's awesome.
That's what he does.
I really appreciate
he
that.
He wants
yeah.
other people to collaborate and make something together
mm-hmm.
that then in turn affect a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And that's so amazing. And I think that's why Banksy is one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Because he uses creativity to make awesome, awesome art
yeah.
that are so lined with what's the word I want to say?
Comment, like social commentary? Or?
Okay, that works, yeah.
Okay.
He uses his creativity
mm-hmm.
to make things that allow other people to think. He doesn't just make, he doesn't just post things on walls that, like, to...
Just cool designs or...
Well, I think cool designs can have, can, is also in that realm that I'm thinking of.
Okay.
I think it makes people realize the beauty in things.
Yeah.
If things, if a, a gray wall is then all of a sudden splashed with yellow paint, it's colorful.
Yeah.
And that
okay.
displays something other than
gray.
A gray wall. Which we like gray, though.
Well, big gray fan.
We are, with Liam Neeson.
But for real, gray is one of my favorite colors.
Really?
As well, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean gray is a bad color. Sorry.
What's your problem with gray?
Nothing. I appreciate color.
Good.
I think gray is a color, but I appreciate bright colors.
Maybe
I should say that. So, yeah. I don't have a really good answer for what I think the purpose is as, like, for, like...
Humanity.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Like,
I like to ask that, though, because it's such a hard question to answer.
I know. I know you like to ask. But I think a big part of that is loving people.
Mm-hmm.
Showing people that you care, that someone in the world cares about them,
yeah.
I think is a big part of living in this world that we live in, because we're kind of constantly going to be interacting with people, unless you choose not to, which is an option.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that maybe, just in my head,
mm-hmm.
you are very seriously neglecting a big part of humanity that you should be participating in.
Sure.
If you're choosing to not interact with people. So I think that's a part of our of humanity's purpose, is to show people that there is... someone else around them
mm-hmm.
that cares about whether they are alive or not. And with that is showing them love, showing them, like, agape love, the love from the Bible that Jesus shows to his followers and to the prostitutes and to the tax collectors and to the lepers
mm-hmm.
of his time.
The leopards?
The leopards, yeah. Uh-huh. There was a big... leopard embargo back then, where they just chose to ignore them. They wouldn't trade anything.
embargo.
But I think that getting into, like, biblical aspect of it, if that's where you will allow me to go.
I allow.
Thank you.
You may pass.
Thank you. That's something that, as a follower, as a, like, I was going to say a chosen follower. That's not what I mean.
Mm.
I mean as a someone who chooses to follow the teachings of Jesus.
Sure.
I think that I am called to love people regardless of what the rest of society thinks about
yeah.
them. What...
And you don't think everybody else's purpose is the same as yours?
Shoot, I don't know.
That's okay. I don't know is a totally valid answer in my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
okay.
Hard.
You can keep moving.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just think it's important to show love to people.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, whether you think they are doing the right thing or not.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of people, especially in the church, don't do a good job of doing.
Mm-hmm.
If they think that someone isn't doing the right thing, then they will not love them. They will purposely not love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I can really say.
That's fine.
That's as much as the answer.
But that's a great answer.
As much of the answer as I can do.
And I appreciate that answer.
Thanks. What do you think? I want to know what you think.
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay.
I think love's a good... place to start.
Okay.
My purpose? No idea. Everybody else's purpose? I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that's a valid answer. Not knowing. And searching for it.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I think that's why I asked, is because I don't feel comfortable saying anything.
Huh.
And I've gotten a few answers that have been, yes, I do believe in a collective purpose, I think. And I've gotten several that have been, I know what I think mine is, but I don't know about everybody else. And that's what I hear you saying. And I think that's what I would resort to if I was forced to answer the question. I know that I think I need to be loving, and I think I need to be collaborating, and I think I need to be creating. Those are actually really big things, things that we talked about. Those are huge for me right now. But I also am scared to label down a purpose, because 5 years ago I would have said something totally different. I'm assuming, maybe not, that 5 years from now I'll say something different as well. Because it was only like 5 months ago that I told Bailey I would kill the person that she cheats on me with, but I don't think that anymore. So I don't know.
Me neither, man. Me neither.
But I'm also not putting a lot of effort into it, because I will answer that question in a different podcast. Corey might interview me at one point. She said in ours, she goes, this would be really cool if like somebody interviewed you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, maybe we'll do that.
Well,
so,
I like interviewing you in this context.
Oh, great.
Here.
Yeah, I want to contribute, but I do. I mean, you're the guest, so.
Wow.
Well, any final words? Not that we won't ever do this again, but.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well.
We'll have time. I can have more time to talk about things tomorrow if I wanted to.
That's true. And if you haven't caught on already, listeners, Jared will probably be a consistent guest, co-guest, co-host, co-whatever. And he already has been one, so. Well, cool, man.
Thanks.
Thanks. This was actually
keep
much.
It risky.
Keep it risky.
Keep it risky. That's a good one.
No, sorry, Pete.
Sorry, Pete.
No, I knew this would be good, but I honestly didn't think it would be this good.
Oh, gosh. I don't think you're telling the truth.
No, I'm serious. I knew that we would have a good conversation, but it got a lot more intense than I thought it would, and I liked it. So, great. See, look at all these arrows that I made.
You made a lot.
These are like key topics, things that I think are good to remember what we talked about.
Okay.
When we talked about what we talked about when we talked about God.
Mm.
It's a bad reference. All right.
It's
well,
a bad reference.
Thanks, Jared.